please welcome Speaker Buhan.
Hi. So my name is Govan Todjian-Gabriel, which is a really long name, so you can just call me Govan. And I'm going to talk about this great thing called the FOG. So before that, my work is sponsored by the MLNet Foundation with a grant that is financed through the European Commission called NGI Assure, Next Generation Internet. So if you have ideas and just want money, just go apply to it. It's actually a really cool thing. So now, what is the FOG? So I guess, like, the academical definition would be the programming protocol independent packet processor is a domain-specific language for network devices, specifying how data plane devices, switches, NIC routers, filters, etc., process packets. Okay, great, but what does this actually mean? Okay, so it's a language basically for hardware-optimized network processing. Like, think SIMD for network. So you can just have, like, those FPGAs, DPUs, whatever, and you can make them process network packets for you at an accelerated rate compared to software. So it roughly looks like C, in a way. As you can see, like, it has the same kind of syntax, like arguments, whatnot. The thing is, There's a few oddities. Like, you can see it has this state thing, it doesn't have a return. You have transition select. What is this? It looks a bit weird. So let's explain this a bit. Functions in P4 are replaced mostly by things called parser, control, and package. So what is parser? A parser is a function that is going to pass an incoming packet according to, well, the same thing as in C, which means struct, type def, etc. Like, say I'm going to define a struct, I'm going to say, if this element of a struct is this, then I'm going to call this function. Basically, that's what the parser function does. You have then the control functions. Control functions modify a passed packet. Say, for example, you have this really long packet which says, I have up X, Y, Z, and then you want to remove the up X because you're on up X. You're going to do this in a control function. And then you have package, which defines basically the binding logic between the hardware. Like, oh, am I going, say I implement a firewall. Oh, am I going to add new rules? Or am I going to, like, load new definitions and whatnot? So that's basically it. There's other interesting keywords, there's other things, like, but I'm not going to explain all of this because P4 is kind of like, but this would be basically be out of scope for the talk, and P4 is already complex enough as is. So how do you want to use P4 in NICs? There's a few ideas. My take on it is, let's make a transpiler. Why? Because a transpiler allows you to reuse P4 concepts within NICs. Say, because P4 is a bit verbose, because, say, you want to pass this IP TCP packet something, you need each time to redefine the IP header thingies. So you want to redefine this struct, you want then to have it passed in a way, and then sometimes you want this thing, sometimes you have this other IP struct because you don't want to pass, like, some optional data in the header that would slow down the process, etc. So it's a bit verbose. Let's just use NICs to basically re-implement parts of it and have it in a nice packet. So what is a transpiler? In our case, it's a NICs to P4 translator, which means you can define things in NICs, structs, enums, whatnot, and it generates P4 code. Then you have the P4 compiler, which actually processes the code that's generated, followed by the target compiler, which in this case allows you to deploy your thing to, say, an FPGA, a DPU, etc. Basically, the thing that allows you to run your thing, your program. So what does it look like in action? Basically, this is a NICs file which allows you to define some P4 concepts. In this case, I defined a header flag which contains, like, a few cons, like max ops, standards, ops, etc., and then a few headers. Like, in this case, I'm just defining standard T, which has, like, two flags, source and destination, both of type bit 8. And yeah, that's basically just a way to redefine, like, the annoying thing of P4. Then you can also have include. And all of this is processed then by this function called runTranspiler, MKTranspiler, whatever I called it now. And you just run this, and it generates code for you. And that's great. So we can simplify this, obviously, because that's a bit annoying to each time type like this header, etc. And the whole point of making this whole thing is to make it less verbose and to reuse code so you can just have your own infra, mostly in X and like a few bits and packages in P4, so you can basically put everything in the same place. In this case, you can just inherit things that I define in helpers, and you can do the same thing, and you get your P4 source. So that's a lot simpler. And we don't have to define Ethernet each time. We don't have to define MAC addresses each time, which is a thing in P4, because if you use like standard P4, it's going to make you have to redefine all of this at each program you make. Which is thanks to helpers that I wrote down in my packages, basically. So what does the end result look like? Because I'm saying, oh, this is the next code. This is what it looks like, etc. Yeah, it's great. OK, so this is basically the transpile. It's kind of dirty in X in a way. Like, you can see it's a lot of nested functions. But basically, the idea is that I define a module, an XOS module, which verifies the types of what I give it, in this case, the header. I give it a default type. Then you can have, like, the unions, the content, the whatnot, etc., which are then passed by the transpiler, which are these huge, like, nested functions, which basically just map structs, like, NixOS addresses, into just, like, P4 materials and then just YD. It's a source-to-source transpiler. It's nothing fancy, but it's a thing. And so what does the end result look like after we transpire? It looks like P4 code. That's pretty clean. You have like the include, the define, the ops, max ops, standard metadata. Then you have your structs, etc. And then you can include like your own code. And then this whole P4 code is then processed by the target compiler, which then processes it to its own platform. Say it can actually generate, like, say, eBPF code, so it runs on Linux. eBPF is basically like this kernel thingy that you can run to have more privileges. I'll explain it later if I have the time. And this is BMV2, and BMV2 is just a simplified model architecture. I'll also talk about it later. So basically, it's a source-to-source transpiler that has multiple stages and allows you to specify P4 functions and reuse concepts. It's nothing fancy, but it's useful. So now that I talked about BMV2, I think I have time to do it. So what is it? Glad you asked. So the simple switch architecture is the de facto architecture that is used to basically test P4C, which is the main compiler. So it's basically like this kind of standard test setup that you can use to just see if your code works. But it's not fast. You can't really target it to anywhere. It's basically like this low user length thing that you can use to just test your program that is not fast, but does mostly what you want. It's basically just like this interface for targeting the switch.